So are you ready
for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Buenas noches, familia. Soy Carlos Medina y aquí me tienes dispuesto a acompañarte un domingo más en el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. A lo largo del show de esta noche vamos a hacer un buen repaso a una de las grandes películas de la historia del cine, El Padrino. Una noche más, cine y música van de la mano en el garage. De hecho, arrancamos con una de las grandes bandas de la historia. Ellos son los Stones. One Hit to the Body es la canción con la que arrancamos el programa y con la que le damos la bienvenida a Little Steven. Buenas noches, comenzamos.
In 1970, Gulf and Western made more money selling cigars than making movies. Chairman Charlie Bluthorn's instinctive purchase of Paramount Pictures wasn't paying off. In spite of no big successes, executive Peter Bart, backed by his boss Robert Evans, believed in getting in early on a project and nurturing and developing it slowly until it felt ready to film. To that end, Bart bought two books in progress, something called Love Story, and in 1967, a manuscript of 118 pages with an outline about an American mob leader and the singer movie star he helped out. The book was called Mafia, written by a guy with debts all over town. He'd previously authored two books, critical successes, but commercial failures. The trouble was, around the same time the book became a hit in 1969, Paramount released another Mafia movie, The Brotherhood, starring the hugely popular Kirk Douglas. Critics and executives agreed it was a very good film, but nobody came to see it. Since business was bad across the board already, Paramount chief Robert Evans decided to make a $2 million quickie out of what was now being called The Godfather. Take out all that period stuff and shoot it on the back lot. After all, big books like Portnoy's Complaint, The Love Machine, and Catch-22 had all bombed. And if Paramount had one more failure, Evans knew he was gone. Evans and Bart called Al Ruddy to produce it. All he'd done was a TV show called Hogan's Heroes and two failed movies, but he'd brought them in on budget, and that was all that mattered. Ruddy immediately broke one of Hollywood's sacred laws by hiring the author to do the screenplay. No one was more surprised than Puzo, who was paid more for the screenplay than he was for the rights to the book. So in the spring of 1970, Mario Puzo began work on a project the studio no longer wanted, written by an author who'd never done a screenplay, and coordinated by a producer who'd never had any movie success. And they were about to find out one more thing. Nobody wanted to direct it.
I'd say I used to think I knew it. Man, I swore through it. Things like that will chatter. Ain't the things that matter. That's one thing I can do without. I'm not talking, but that's what I got to say. Things I say I mean that. Ain't gonna say and be that. I reached the fair conclusion. And all this best confusion. Don't call me baby, I'll call you. Talking, that's what I got to say. Things I say, ain't gonna say a thing that reached the conclusion. It only spreads confusion. That's one thing I can do without. Talking, well, that's what I got to say. That's what things are awful. Not just being awful, that's what things are splendid. Not just being offended, that's one thing I can do without.
Yo, Steven, this is Adrian, better known as Talia Shire. You're listening to the Underground Garage, nonstop coolness.
He hit me, and it felt like a kiss. He hit me, but it didn't hurt me. He couldn't stand.
You treat me so disrespectfully. If you'd come to me in friendship, then the scum that wounded your daughter would be suffering this very day. And if by chance an honest man like yourself should make enemies, then he would become my enemies. And then they would fear you.
Be my friend? Godfather?
Good.
That this ain't the way it's supposed to be. Let me hear you. All right, start talking.
I was sent by a friend of Johnny Fontaine. His friend is my client. He would give his undying friendship to Mr. Walsh. Mr. Walsh would grant us a small favor.
Walsh, who's listening?
Give Johnny the part in that new war film you're starting next week.
And what favor would your friend grant Mr. Walsh?
You're going to have some union problems. My client could make them disappear. Also, one of your top stars has just moved from marijuana to heroin.
Started our tribute to the Godfather with One Hit to the Body, recorded by the Rolling Stones at a time when Keith Richards was seriously considering having Mick whacked. But luckily for us, it all worked out. In the end, Murder Incorporated, Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band, that would come out on a greatest hits package. I don't know, bonus track, whatever you want to call it. It's out there. That's what matters. I'm Out Talking. The Yardbirds version of Omerta. Giorgio Gomelsky pushing the faders around. The classic Mose Allison cover. He hit me and it felt like a kiss. A little political correctness from the Crystals. Written by Goffin and King. Perhaps in an inebriated moment, if I could say inebriated. I forget, Phil Spector was using it to get out of a deal or something. You know, one of those things. Can I get a witness? Not likely. In the world of The Godfather, Marvin Gaye, one of the greatest singers of all time, out of the Motown stable. Rain Dance was Hollis Brown out of Queens, Don DeLago producing, Jonathan Bonilla, Mike Montali, and Bo Diddley co-writing that one. Cool stuff. And a classic version of Shotgun by the Vanilla Fudge, the Lupara, for those of you keeping score. Yes, Clemenza would use it on those lucky Goombas in the elevator. I haven't seen this movie for a while, actually. I gotta go back and check it out again. We've been running into people lately who have never seen The Godfather. Never. It's a generational thing, I guess. Well, you younger generation, if you want to really make your weekend, go rent it. Go buy it. You'll want Italian food in the morning.
Never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
Sigues en Rock FM y estás escuchando el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche nuestra gran protagonista es una película, El Padrino. Se estrenó en 1972, fue dirigida por Francis Ford Coppola y se basó en el libro del mismo nombre de Mario Puzo. Antes de dirigir El Padrino, Francis Ford Coppola ya vivía del cine. Había dirigido unas cuantas películas, trabajado como guionista y como productor. Pero con 33 años se estrenó la que sería por aquel entonces la cinta más taquillera de la historia. Paramount Pictures le encargó la dirección de El Padrino y Coppola trabajó mano a mano con Mario Puzo, autor de la novela en la que se basaría la cinta. Entre ambos dieron forma a un guión al que terminarían dando vida, entre otros, el genial Marlon Brando y un joven Al Pacino, sobre quien Coppola no tenía puestas muchas expectativas iniciales, pero que acabó siendo una de sus grandes interpretaciones. Después de un rodaje que no se presentó nada fácil, con temores por parte de la Paramount de que Coppola no fuese capaz de manejar aquel elenco y aquella propuesta, finalmente la película quedó terminada. 52 días de rodaje fueron suficientes para ello. El resto es historia, pero historia que ahora mismo vamos a desgranar. De momento nos quedamos con Little Steven. Dale, maestro.
So as unbelievable as it seems now, nobody wants to direct The Godfather. It was turned down by Richard Brooks, Fred Zinnemann, Costa Gavras, Otto Preminger, Peter Yates, and even an up-and-coming nobody who Peter Bart figured he'd give a break to, Francis Ford Coppola. Coppola, like half of the New Hollywood, had started with Roger Corman, doing a little bit of everything, from editing to writing to sound. He directed Dementia 13, You're a Big Boy Now, Finian's Rainbow, and The Rain People, with future Hoods James Caan and Robert Duvall, and they all bombed. But he wrote the screenplay to Patton, which, among other things, swayed Peter Bart to ask him. So Coppola turns it down, but he had just started a new company called American Zoetrope, and his partner, George Lucas, says, Francis, you better take this job, we need the bread. And the more he thinks about it, he starts to see it the way Al Ruddy saw it, when he described it to the bosses at Gulf and Western, as an ice blue, terrifying movie about people you love. Francis figures he can emphasize the family and keep the integrity at a high level, certainly higher than the budget would suggest. His co-written screenplay with Puzo would focus on Vito Corleone and the emergence of his youngest son Michael as a central figure, and the transfer of power they both fought to avoid. Now, Robert Evans and Peter Bart didn't become executives of Paramount by being stupid. One of the reasons they picked Coppola was because he was one of the very few directors of Italian blood, and they knew controversy was on its way. But Coppola brought much more than they ever could have imagined. The authenticity of the details, like Clemenza's cooking lesson, Connie's wedding reception, the delicate nuance of the old world courtship in Sicily. When all was said and done, Coppola would do a lot with very little and create the greatest movie ever made.
I spill beans, A, D, I'm bad, and me don't mess with me. Now all you women, remember when I was 21? That was a year, baby, that I had a lot of fun. But a year has gone by, I'm now 22. I can eat nails, honey, and drink gunpowder soup. I spill beans, A, Dean. I'm bad. Don't mess with me. Now, honey, you better tell your husband. Quit sneaking, peeping at me. He wanna find out the man that I'm the supposed to be. Now I'll misuse it real, honey, and mess up his face. I'll even try to snatch both of his legs out of place. B A D Bad. One more question, honey, before I start to stutter. I can even tell you why. White milk make yellow butter. I'm B A D Bad. You asked me, honey, what it was all about. You even asked me where the light went when it went out. I'm B A D Bad. Don't mess with me. Oh, oh.
Hello, this is Lou Adler, and you're listening to the coolest DJ in North America, Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
I am honored am grateful that you have invited me to your daughter's wedding. On the day of your daughter's wedding. And I hope that their first child be a masculine child. I pledge my ever-ending loyalty for your daughter's bridal purse.
Thank you, Luca. My most valued friend.
Don Calion, I'm going to leave you now because I know you are busy.
Kid comes up to me in a white jacket, gives me a Ritz cracker and a chopped liver. He says, canapes. I said, canapes in my ass. That's a Ritz cracker and chopped liver. He goes, hey, what? Tina Bonoka, bring out the peppers and sausage. You might have home over here.
Oh, seeing you reminds me of New York, the old days, huh?
Hey, the roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. It won't stop. The roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. I need a mop. I cry so hard, teardrops on my bed. Dribbity drop, yeah. She packed up her bags and she moved out on a midnight train. Got no brain. She packed up a bag and she moved out on a midnight train. The girl's insane. She took my heart. Tears see me to give me a tip, tip, tip. I said, now listen here, friend, I tell you I'm hip, hip, hip. Why don't you mind your own business? Shut your lip, lip, lip. I know when my girl give me the slip, slip, slip. I said, the roof is leaking, rain's falling on my head. Oh, yeah. I cry so hard, teardrops on my bed. All over the floor, that's what I said. Hey, 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 hey. Well, my buddy come to see me to give me a tip. I said, now listen here, friend, I tell you I'm hip, hip, hip. Why don't you mind your own business? Close your lip, lip, lip. I know when my girl give me the slip, slip, slip. I said, the rail is leaking, red's falling on my head.
Started that set with I'm Bad, the amazing Bo Diddley, produced by Leonard Chess for the amazing Chess label. Actually, he's on Checker. They did that in those days just to get more records on the radio, you know. You know, Motown did it with Tamla, and Berry Gordy had a few, actually. Anyway, I digress already. You know that's Jerome Green on the maracas. I Got a Line on You was Spirit. The Family That Plays Together was the album. It says our connection to Coppola. Randy California, writing it and playing guitar. Jimi Hendrix named him. That's not his real name. His real name is like, you know, Randy South Dakota or something like that. Jimmy said, hey man, California, you know, it's more commercial. Lou Adler producing that, by the way. The great Lou Adler. And it was a family because the drummer, Ed Cassidy, was Randy's stepfather. Lyra was The Shelters, produced by Tom Petty and Chase and Josh from the band and Ryan the engineer. The album is out now, has two cool songs on it already. That's a good start. Written by guitar player Chase Simpson. And up to the Bronx for the King of the Bronx, the King of the New York Streets, Dion DiMucci. Covering Drifters. Lieber and Stoller wrote it. We're spending some time with The Godfather this week. Come on back, we're going to tell you all about that crazy Marlon Brando.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Estás en el Underground Garage de Little Steven despidiendo el fin de semana aquí en Rock FM. La película El Padrino es la gran protagonista de esta noche. Basada en la novela de Mario Puzo del mismo nombre, El Padrino narra la historia de una de las cinco familias mafiosas de la ciudad de Nueva York, la familia Corleone, dirigida por su patriarca, Don Vito Corleone. Para siempre quedará la magistral interpretación de Marlon Brando en la piel de Don Vito. La trama comienza con la celebración de la boda de Connie Corleone, hija de Don Vito, a la que acuden miembros del resto de las cinco familias mafiosas de Nueva York, así como también algún que otro artista, políticos y agentes de policía, todos ellos invitados y partícipes del mundo de Lampa. Imagino que habrás visto la película, pero por si acaso no entraré mucho más en la trama. Pero en caso de no haberla visto, comparto contigo un comentario que leí en el libro que te recomiendo, Moteros Tranquis, Toros Salvajes, de Peter Biskin. Según cuentan, una vez que El Padrino fue estrenada y con un éxito tan abrumador, Francis Ford Coppola, su director, recibía llamadas a su casa de supuestos mafiosos que le felicitaban por lo bien que había logrado captar el ambiente mafioso en la peli. Tanto es así que hubo cierta polémica cuando se anunció que el papel de Luca Brasi, uno de los gángsters del film, sería interpretado por Lenny Montana, un ex luchador al que se le vinculó con la mafia, pero la de verdad. En fin, hay que verla, y si ya la viste, pues otra vez, Ale Liddell.
Someday, and that day may never come, I'll call upon you to do a service for me. But until that day, accept this justice as a gift on my daughter's wedding day.
So let's face it, the casting came down to one thing. Who would play the boss? Considered for Vito Corleone were David Janssen, Vince Edwards, Anthony Quinn, John Marley, Robert Conti, both of them ended up in the movie, Ernest Borgnine, and Frank Sinatra. But Mario Puzo, even though he was as powerless as most writers are in Hollywood, knew who he wanted. He wanted who Coppola described as having incontestable magnetism. Someone who'd cause a stir by walking in the room. Al Ruddy knew who they wanted. The greatest living actor in Hollywood and the biggest pain in the ass, Marlon Brando. The Paramount executive said, forget it. He hasn't had a hit in the 60s. His pictures go over budget and he's uncontrollable. It has to be him, said Coppola. The aura he has when surrounded by other actors is the aura Don Vito must also have. Coppola could talk anybody into anything, so Stanley Jaffe, the executive who most didn't want Brando, tells him, okay, you can have him on three conditions, knowing he'll never get them. First, no money. Second, any cost overruns come out of his back end. And third, he has to do a screen test. So Francis goes to Brando's house and says, let's do a makeup test, you know, and we'll shoot it. Brando agrees and slowly transforms himself. Blackens his hair, adds a little mustache, pushes Kleenex into his cheeks, half closes his eyes and lights a cigar, and there was Don Vito. One other happy twist of fate happened with the casting. When they finally relented and gave in to Coppola about casting Al Pacino as Michael, another actor nobody wanted, they got sued. Turns out Al was booked to do the gang that couldn't shoot straight. So to get him, Coppola traded the guy he'd cast as Pauly Gatto, the traitor. He gave them Robert De Niro.
And baby, baby. only on the causeway. He's dead. I want no inquiries made. I want no acts of vengeance. I want you to arrange a meeting with the heads of the five families. This war stops now.
Till she's here, please don't come near, just stay away. I'll let you know when she's come home until that day. Don't come around, leave me alone, don't bother me.
got no time for you right now. Don't bother me. I know I'll never be the same if I don't get her back again. Because I know she'll always be the only girl for me. But till she's here, please don't come near, just stay away. I'll let you know when she's come home until that day. Don't come around, leave me alone, don't bother me. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. Don't bother me.
But I must have strict assurance from Corleone. As time goes by and his position becomes stronger, will he attempt any individual vendetta?
Look, we are all reasonable men here. We don't have to give assurances as if we were lawyers.
You talk about vengeance. Is vengeance gonna bring your son back to you? Or my boy to me? I forgo the vengeance of my son. But I have selfish reasons. My youngest son was forced to leave this country. Because of this Salazzo business. All right. I have to make arrangements to bring him back here safely. Clear of all these false charges. But I'm a superstitious man. And if some unlucky accident should befall him, if he should get shot in the head by a police officer, or if he should hang himself in his jail cell, or if he's struck by a bolt of lightning, then I'm going to blame some of the people in this room. And that I do not forgive.
See, ooh, a walking
Hi, this is Gianni Russo. You remember me as Carlo Rizzi in The Godfather. You listen to Little Stevie in the Underground Garage.
Started our Marlon Brando set with It's My Life by The Animals. Mickey Most had temporarily gone back to the Brill Building, even after The Animals had started writing some great records. It's a good move, though. I don't think The Animals were too happy with it, but sometimes a producer's got to do what he's got to do. And Mickey did the right thing right there. Also coming back with, we got to get out of this place, and don't bring me down, you know, things like that. Degeneration with Mercy of the Rain from their reunion record, Nothing Is Anywhere. Get it from degeneration.us. Then we heard the sound of the Beatles. Amazing sound, really. Don't Bother Me. George Harrison's best record, as far as I'm concerned. Amazing, really. George Martin at his best producing, even though he felt less than enthusiastic about George's voice, and Mr. Martin was quite wrong about that. Robert De Niro's Waiting was Bananarama, produced by Tony Swain and Steve Jolly, 1984. And back to Chicago for the American Breed, Gary Loizzo singing Bend Me, Shape Me, all the way to number 5 on the pop charts, 1967. And we'll be back with our coolest song in the world this week.
Sigues en Rock FM y estás escuchando el Underground Garage de Little Steven. A estas alturas del show, puede que te imagines qué viene ahora. Sin duda, uno de mis momentos favoritos, la canción más chula de la semana. Vamos a escuchar una de las bandas que han llamado estos días la atención de nuestro pequeño Steven. New Mystery Girl nos traen Brand New. Es la canción más chula de la semana en el Underground Garage de Rock FM.
For your father.
Our coolest song in the world this week comes from Austin, Texas. Please welcome to the Underground Garage stage, New Mystery Girl.
Hey, We'll be right back. I'm an American hiding in Sicily.
Un americano che si è nascosto in Sicilia.
My name is Michael Corleone.
E si chiama Michele Corleone.
Now, there are people who pay a lot of money for that information.
Ci sarebbe parecchia gente che pagherebbe parecchie picciole per informazioni così.
But then your daughter would lose a father.
Ma allora vostra figlia perderebbe un padre.
Instead of gaining a husband.
E invece di guadagnare uno sposo.
Ah, minchia, ma sei innamorato davvero?
I want to meet your daughter.
Vuole conoscere vostra figlia.
With your permission.
Con il suo permesso.
And under the supervision of your family.
E con il consenso di tutta la famiglia.
With all respect. For my father now, Kate. He's been sick. Very sick.
But you're not like him, Michael. I thought you weren't going to become a man like your father. That's what you told me.
My father's no different than any other powerful man. Any man who's responsible for other people. Like a senator or a president.
Do you know how naive you sound?
Why?
Senators and presidents don't have men killed.
Oh. Who's being naive, Kay?
I wouldn't change a thing if I could live it all again. Funny, you know, when you sit down and think about what you have, about the friends you used to know, what happened, where did they all go? Can you remember happy hours spent drinking and thinking we thought we could change the world? And we never, 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 never thought we could get much older there. We're the ones who love to love and like to love. We'd bring it all home with the right song. that you married, did you ever think on your face again? Now hold on a minute.
Started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, Brand New Love from New Mystery Girl out of Austin, Texas. Chrissy Flatt is that mystery girl. Guess that kind of blows the mystery. I'm just guessing. Frenchie Smith producing. Chrissy joined by Eric Hissaw, Bobby Daniel, and Hector Munoz. And you can get it from newmysterygirl.com. The Monkees, with Birth of an Accidental Hipster. Yes, they have reunited. 3 out of 4 of them. Davey no longer with us. The album is Good Times. That track written by Noel Gallagher and Paul Weller. And Adam Schlesinger producing.
A fabulous girl group classic that was not a hit, Please Don't Wake Me, by the Cinderellas, who's really Margaret Ross. From Rod Stewart's fabulous debut solo album, after he was introduced to us on the first 2 Jeff Beck albums, which you really should have, this was a fabulous solo record, 1969, on Mercury, produced by Rod and Lou Reisner. Ronnie Wood and Martin Pugh, that's how you pronounce it, playing all of the guitar parts. Mickey Waller, from Jeff Beck's first album, on drums. And that's Keith Emerson playing it. crazy organ part. Cool stuff, right? We're celebrating The Godfather. Some of these songs we're playing are related to the theme, and some aren't. Like usual.
Por aquí estoy de vuelta. Seguimos avanzando en el Underground Garage de Little Steven en Rock FM. El Padrino quedará por siempre como una de las grandes películas de la historia. Un buen guión, fantásticos actores y una tremenda dirección. Y también alguna que otra anécdota. Por ejemplo, se cuenta que Coppola estaba absolutamente empeñado en que fuera Marlon Brando quien diera vida a Vito Corleone. Sin embargo, el estudio no las tenía todas consigo. De hecho, aceptaron siempre y cuando Coppola consiguiera tres condiciones de Brando, que de antemano el estudio sabía que no iba a aceptar. La primera, que Brando no cobraría un sueldo astronómico por la película, sino más bien un porcentaje por recaudación. Te recuerdo que en su día fue la película más taquillera de la historia. En segundo lugar, Brando se haría cargo de los sobrecostos de producción causados por su actitud. Y por último, debía hacer una prueba de cámara a modo de casting. Finalmente, Marlon Brando aceptó todas y cada una de las condiciones hasta el punto que la prueba de cámara la hizo con algodones en los carrillos para que le cambiara la voz y la forma de la cara. Los encargados del estudio quedaron absolutamente fascinados con ello. Es Marlon Brando. Dale, maestro.
I have but one heart.
I don't know what to do. My voice is weak. It's weak.
You can act like a man!
Godfathers 1 and 2, really two halves of the greatest movie ever made, won a lot of things, as you would expect, but surprisingly, not as much as it probably should have. It won Best Picture for both movies, Best Screenplay Adaptation for Coppola and Puzo, won both years. Brando won Best Actor, which he turned down, and De Niro won Best Supporting Actor. For two. The amazing Dean Tavularis won for Best Production Design for Godfather 2, should have won for one, and Nino Rota wrote the amazing music, won for Godfather 2, but should have won also for one. What's truly amazing to me is that out of 10 nominations for one and 11 for two, Gordon Willis, the cinematographer, isn't even nominated. Can you believe that? I mean, certainly among the greatest cinematography ever, and maybe the best, not even nominated. Just shows you, don't take those awards too seriously, win or lose.
I used to wake up in the morning, I used to feel so bad. I got so sick of having sleepless nights, I went and told my dad. He said, son, now here's some little something that stuck them on my wall. And now my nights seem quite so lonely. In fact, I don't feel bad at all. I don't feel bad at all. Pictures of it, it made my life so wonderful. Pictures of Lily help me sleep at night. Pictures of Lily solve my childhood problems. Pictures of Lily help me feel alright. Pictures of Lily.
Pictures of Lily made my life so wonderful. Pictures of Lily. pictures of living. Help me sleep at night. And I ask you, hey, mister, have you ever seen pictures of living?
This is Jim Gandolfini, and you are with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Get all stars down.
You take care of me? Did you ever think about that? Huh? Did you ever once think about that? Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. Send Fredo to pick somebody up at the airport. I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over.
That's the way Pop wanted it.
It ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect!
Underneath your gaze, I was found in the haze I'm wandering around in. I am lost in the
Just consider this, Michael. That's all. Just consider it. Now, Roth and the Rosados are on the run. Are they worth it? And are they strong enough? Is it worth it? I mean, you've won. You want to wipe everybody out?
I don't feel I have to wipe everybody out, Tom. Just my enemies. That's all.
Save me. Save me.
Two great train robberies of the Academy Awards, one being Scorsese not winning Best Picture for Raging Bull, but a very close second, Gordon Willis not winning Best Cinematography for The Godfather. So we started with some pictures of Lily Langtry, music hall star of the 20s. I don't know, not much about her, to tell you the truth. I asked Pete Townsend about that. Kit Lambert producing, 1967.
I'm Free, the 4019s. The band wrote it, and bass player David Newton produced it.
Open My Eyes was a Naz. Academy should have been listening to Todd Rundgren. Michael Friedman co-producing with the band, 1968. They never beat that track.
The End of My Neighborhood, the Fleshtones' new one. Keith Strang wrote it, and an album is on the way.
And one of my favorite songs of all time by one of my favorite artists of all time, Seeing Moby Grape and Skip Spence, an absolute genius. Only did a handful of things before he lost it mentally, tragically. That was from the third record, Strung Together After They Were Gone, by David Rubinson. But what a band Moby Grape were. Amazing.
Now I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank our presenting sponsor, the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, Hotels, and Casinos Worldwide. We want to thank the Voice of America, Jimmy Bertel, which goes to all over the not-so-free world. And we want to thank American Forces Radio, where we are in 177 countries. Yeah, that's Curtis Eckstein and Thomas Arnholt. Thank you, Curtis and Tommy. Don't forget, if you're up there in... what town's that in?
Rochester!
Thank you, Jack. If you're up there in Rochester, go visit Andy Babuke, or you can reach him, of course, the modern way, Andy Babuke's fabgear.com. But go to the joint itself, which is very cool, Andy Babuke's fabgear.
Allow me. I'm a bit of a famous mimic in my own small way, you know. James Cagney. Hello there, this is the famous Ringo here, Gear Fab. What is it that I can do for you, as it were, Gear Fab?
Not a bit like Cagney.
Yeah, that Scotland Yard always gets it wrong. Not Gear Fab, it's Fab Gear. And if somebody gets you a radio station for your birthday, call up Andy Denmark and Lori Logan at unitedstations.com.
and then you can broadcast this radio show. Go to undergroundgarage.com for various contests, and you can check out the archives of some 600 shows or so. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/undergroundgarage. Follow us on Twitter at littlesteven_UG. I know I've been not tweeting lately, but I got to get back to it. I promise I will. At Stevie Van Zandt. I want to thank our inevitable producer, Dennis Mortensen, our coordinating producer, Jeremy Tufano, and I want to thank Alan Freed, without whom we would not be here. Thank you all out there. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Go back to Jersey, you moron!
100%.
Bueno, familia, hasta aquí el Underground Garage de esta semana. Hemos recordado una de las grandes películas de la historia, como es El Padrino. Te recuerdo el título del libro que te recomendé antes, Moteros Tranquis, Toros Salvajes, de Peter Biskin. En él se repasa todo el comienzo de directores como Coppola, Dennis Hopper, actores, películas, guionistas, en fin, toda aquella generación que irrumpió en Hollywood a finales de los 60 con una propuesta distinta de hacer cine. Hablamos de Scorsese, Spielberg, George Lucas, están todos. Moteros Tranquis, Toros Salvajes. Espero que hayas disfrutado de un buen rato de radio. Yo soy Carlos Medina y si te apetece, nos encontramos el próximo domingo a las 10 de la noche en el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Un abrazo, feliz semana. Buenas noches, Little.